Well, we continue in the series that we've been looking at on the Holy Spirit, and in particular the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He brings to the church. And I kind of thought I wanted to, as we actually go into 1 Corinthians 12, but before that, I just wanted to remind ourselves about what Jesus Himself says about the Holy Spirit, because although we're getting more used to using and addressing the Holy Spirit in our church amongst us, there is still that bit where sometimes there's a hesitancy to engage with the Spirit of God. I'm never sure just why that is, but I think it's a fact. But one of the things that Jesus says in John 15:26, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father." So we have here in this particular verse the whole Trinity emboldened by it, by you know, here's the Holy Spirit mentioned, here's the Father mentioned, and Jesus Himself speaking the words that He'll come from the Father, because I'm going to send Him. And He says this, He says, "He will testify of Me." So the agenda, if you like, and I always like to think, well, you know, what is the agenda of the Holy Spirit? Because we can't put Him in a box, but we need guidelines. And one of them is that Jesus says He's going to testify of Me. And when I think of the Holy Spirit and how He wants to do this for us, it comforts me to know that, you know, we're not neglecting Jesus. Because you ever find yourself thinking, oh, well, you know, I've got to make sure I give them all equal place in my life, you know, as if, you know, we can do such a thing. But sometimes I think that. And then in John 16:14, when He says that He will come and He will glorify Me. And surely as Christians, one of our passions is to have Christ glorified through our lives. Whatever we seek to do and whatever way we do it, when we're about what Christ wants, it's to say, at the end of this service today, there's something in it that's glorified His name. Something of the songs that we've sung. Something of the action we have one with the other and how we treat one another and speak to one another. That it will not be an offense to Christ, but actually be a glorification to Christ. That's part of what we should be. We can't do it on our own. Because as sure as anything, I speak two words on my own authority, I get myself in trouble. But if I can go back from that and actually say, what is it and how have I meant to behave? Well, I want to testify of Jesus. He's special to me. I'm in love with Him. I want people to know that. But I want to glorify Him through the things that I do. And I need help to do that in Acts chapter 1. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me." Isn't that what Jesus said He would do? He would testify, "both to Me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So these words of Jesus is giving us part of what the Holy Spirit's primary task is. That's why when people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is saying, you know, I know you can't do it on your own, but I want to give you this helper. And this helper is going to bring into your life that which is going to aid you to be able to be a witness to Me and to glorify Me. And he's saying that this filling of the Holy Spirit, this power that is described in the language of the New Testament as being like a dynamite explosive power. I know we kind of shy away in kind of our thinking about when we look at power that's abused in this world, and we kind of try and equate that with what God's power is, which is grace. And He wants us to receive this power that will operate through grace, through the coming of the Spirit of God, something that's going to glorify Christ. It's how He's going to be made it all possible. That's why I think, you know, we can have this relationship. We pray to the Father as God of all comfort that He is. We can speak of Jesus. We come with all this compassion. We can talk about Him. But if we leave out the dynamic of the Spirit of God, we're actually not functioning fully as Christians. And all of us want to function fully as Christians, to embrace the Trinity in which we believe. And that's part of why we talk about this idea of the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit that's described in the book of Acts. This idea that the Spirit of God will come and infuse us. This idea that this word baptism, it's a description, if you like, a waterlogged piece of wood that no longer can float but has to sink to the bottom. It's that kind of picture that it gives to us, that we are infused by the Spirit of God. You might think to yourself, well, really, God would do this? Well, why else would he put it in the Bible? See, I wonder why he puts things in that we're not actually supposed to engage with. When people say, oh, we don't do that any longer, why don't we do it any longer? Where did it say in the Bible, I don't? If you can show me where it says you don't, I'll accept it. But all I can see is do. All I can see is accept. All I can see is moving in the things that God wants to do. You might say to me, you know, oh, the book of Acts, that was a young church being birthed and it needed that power to get through what was going through. Let me ask you where the church is today. In this postmodern society where we're marginalized to the side of society, where we are now in a place of actually being like those in the upper room who are actually saying, wait a minute, who are these guys? Let's marginalize them. I would suggest that we need the Spirit of God more than ever in the church than we've ever had because of what's going on in society today and the way that Christians are perceived. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it really is describing a miraculous faculty. In other words, something that's of not the natural realm, but supernatural realm. And if you get concerned about supernatural and you think about the idea of, spooks and things like that, you know, our God's a supernatural God. Our God lives in a spiritual realm. You know, so in essence, he's a supernatural God. That we find that, you know, he wants to be able to impart to the church a miraculous faculty that of himself so that we can function as we should and ought as a church. And in chapter 12, it's an interesting way when he starts off. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, says Paul, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so for so long, the church has kind of avoided these things. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. And then he says this in verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But why would he put that in? You've got to see that in Paul, and when he's writing, you know, the church at that time was a persecuted people. That there was tests of being able to say, you know, if your life was on the line, you know, if you were, you know, a prisoner of the Roman legions and your life was there and the action was going to be crucifixion for you, because that's kind of how they like to deal with Christians. How are you going to be able to stand in that unless you have that power of God, you know, pulsating in your life to be able to say Jesus is Lord? Would it not just be able to actually just say, well, I thought he was, but he's not now, and I'll repent later and come back to it? But Paul is saying, look, if the Spirit of God is with you, then you can. Then you can stand firm in your faith. Then you can bear testimony as Christ said you could, and you will glorify him in your life. That's what he's saying here in the context of where he is. And then he talks about the gifts and how he wants to impart them. How in verse 4 that he says that there's diversities or different gifts, but the same Spirit. There is, verse 5, he says, there is differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And in verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. This idea of diversities of activities is actually translated as divine energy. It's a supernatural operation that goes on. It's that which God is doing through us. It's actually that which is producing a divine encounter with God. Now, let me ask you, when you came this morning, did you come for the tea and coffee at the end? Did you come for the kids who were doing their bit? What was it that you came for? Was it just because your friends are here? Is it because you like coming here and it's a habit that you have every Sunday morning? Or did you maybe just come for a divine encounter with the God of heaven and earth? Was that maybe somewhere in your heart, that which you wanted? Well, God's prepared a way so that you can have a divine encounter. He's done it through Jesus Christ. He's done it through the impartation of the Holy Spirit so that we might have that divine encounter, that supernatural ability to engage with Him. It's that ability of the divine and human interworking partnership that He talks about so much in the New Testament. We don't do anything of our own will, but only that which He gives us to do. There's a guy who wrote a book called The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. He was H.C.G. Moe, who was the Bishop of Durham up until 1920. I put this one in for you, Maureen, being a good lass from Northumberland. Do you know that he was there? And he says this, and I love this quote out of his book. He says that we should be living channels of diffusion. And I love that phrase. It really caught my imagination. That we, the church, receive from heaven and we become living channels that diffuses the life of Christ to our community. That we diffuse that which God gives. We are not keeping it for ourselves, but we diffuse that which God gives. And all the gifts that are mentioned, they're about us being able to diffuse them for the benefit of mankind and womankind. That's what they're there for. They're not for us. They're for others. They're for others. We are just the channels of blessing. You know, if we can't be as church the channel of blessing to the community, you know, in a way that testifies and brings glory to Christ, well, we're not really doing what God's asked us to do. That we want to become those living channels of diffusion. And I know that some of us, And I have this question often myself, will God truly use me? Would he do that? Would he, with all my faults, with all the things that, you know, are wrong in my life, with all the things that sometimes I really must offend God with by the actions of which I do, will he still do that? You know, I just love the fact that God, you know, can work through imperfect human beings, because it gives glory back to Him, because we know we can't do it of our own account. But in verse 7, he talks about this, that the ministries of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. That he says that these gifts, these manifestations, those things that are made visible and made known, are given to each one. Now, I hope you count yourself in that each one. I think I can't explain it any broader than the fact that he says it's to each one. That's not leaving anybody out. That's every single one of us, each one. And he's giving it to us, not from our own profit, but he says for the profit of all. So he's given to each one for the profit of everyone, so that everyone can be blessed in some way. It's only a matter of us being able to open our hearts out to think that God would use us, that He would actually use us, that He would make us these living channels of diffusion. I would ask the question of, if He doesn't use the church, who else is He going to use? You know, I would ask, who else is he going to use? Because you and I are the ones that are connected to him. You and I are the ones that are connected to heaven. You and I that are the ones that can pray the resources of heaven down into this community. So when we think of that, you know, no wonder he says, look, this manifestation, this making visible, this making known is given to each one of us for the profit of everyone. And when he says profit of everyone, you know, it's not about us in here. All is everybody. All is everyone, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, that he wants these operations, this miraculous faculty of the gifts of God to be used for everyone. I love what Colin Dye said in his book about the Holy Spirit. Do you know, he got kind of fed up and he had a wee rant about, because, you know, if you come from my kind of church background in recent years where the gifts of the Holy Spirit were quite common to be used, but they tended to be in meetings like this. But really, that's not why they're designed. They're designed for the profit of everyone. If you could picture yourself, for example, in the supermarket queue, and imagine that the young woman that's standing in front of you, that's got her trolley, that's only got a few things in it, and she's got three kids in tow, and God gave you a word of knowledge about that young woman that you could encounter with her and tell her something that God and how God sees her and perceives her and what he can do for her. That could change that young woman's life. And it's not in the church that happens, it's outside the church. That's what they're designed for. That's why they were designed, that you and I can embrace what God wants to make visible for the profit of everything. And just, we'll come back to this, but I just want to throw it in now, because in verse 11, it says this, because you see, I don't own any of these gifts. None of us do. They're the Holy Spirit's gifts. I can't turn around and say to anybody, oh, I've got the word of knowledge, that's my gift. Can't say that, because it's as he wills in verse 11. It's how the Holy Spirit directs. We can't manufacture it. You know, and sometimes we can be accused maybe of getting Keith and the guys to crank up the music, get the atmosphere right, get everything going, you know, and people will, you know, that's not what it's about. You can't dictate to God. It's as he wills, it's as he directs. But we also have to bear in mind in verse 7 that he wants us all to go there. He invites us to go there. Now, this is, I've done something that I don't normally do, and I kind of apologize for this, and you probably can't see it, so I do apologize, and I don't like giving lists, but just so that we set our stall out, there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 3 that are verbal, in other words, the power to say. There's prophecy, different kind of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Ian will be talking about that next week. 3 inspirational, the power to know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And 3 that do something, or the power to do, gifts of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And I would like also to say at this point, you know, I don't have definitive answers about how you operate in these gifts, because I can't do that. I don't know anybody that can do it. We can give guidelines, we can give illustrations, but it's very, very difficult to be definitive about it, because I've never managed yet how much I've tried to actually put God in a box so I can understand him. I've never actually been able to do it. He always manages to break out and do something different I never thought of, which is great, because it means you've got a life of surprises, isn't it? What a journey. Eh? I can't understand why people don't want to go on this journey. I really don't. It is such a buzz to be a Christian, to be in an encounter with God, to embrace or be embraced by Christ, to know that living channel of the diffusion flowing through your body, if you like, for what a better want of a description. But these gifts are there, but it is as he wills. And as I'm going to look at 3 of them, In 1 Corinthians 12:8, the word of wisdom, the definition, and it's a short one, is a supernatural application of knowledge. Knowledge is fact that we know. Wisdom is the application of it. It's being able, wisdom is, in a sense, having that ability, that skill, that cleverness to do the right application of knowledge. The purpose of it, the word of wisdom, gives us the skill in knowing how and when to minister accurately by the Holy Spirit. It helps us minister into others' lives, circumstances, and into our own lives. It makes the timing right and enables other gifts to make a significant impact. I think, I'm not keen on this, but as I said, but I wonder if that's why it's named first, because it seems to me that you need wisdom to operate in these gifts. Because otherwise, and having been on the receiving end of it and some of our other streams of the church, you really need to have wisdom in the operation of these things. Otherwise, there's awful silly things go on sometimes in the name of Jesus. And we don't want to do that. But I can tell you that, and if you think, I mean, there's so many, I'm going to use an illustration that out of Scripture. I mean, everybody knows about Solomon. You know, he was a man attributed with wisdom. You'll know the story about the two women that came before him with one child, and the argument about whose child it was, and Solomon saying, well, this is simple, just divide the child. You can both have a portion. And the mother of the child turned around and said, oh, no, don't do that. Let this other woman have it. And of course, the true mother was revealed in that situation. I was really clever doing that. I was so impressed. You know, the wisdom that that man had to do that. Would you have thought of that? I wouldn't have thought of that. But you see, when God imparts wisdom, it gives you the ability to do it. I can tell you a brief story once when I was on my travels in Brazil and taking a meeting like this. And I believe God gave me a word of knowledge for a young man. And it was a difficult word. It was about relationships. And I held on and I thought, I don't know how to do this. And because I had to work through a translator, I said to the translator, look, I feel I need to tell this young man that. And she says, no, you can't. I says, well, if you won't, I'll find someone else that will, because I was so impressed by God that this just had to be said to this young man. It was going to affect his life if I didn't. That was what I felt. That was why I thought God gave me a word of knowledge. But I needed wisdom how to impart it. It had to be done in a way that wasn't going to actually offend the young man, but encourage the young man. And to be honest, the only way I could do that was actually, you know, ask for God to give me the gifts that he talks about. Because I couldn't have done it. I would have mucked it up. I would have done something wrong. And it turned out when I shared what I believe God gave me, you know, the young man had already, you know, had problems in his relationship, but it helped him sort it out so that he could go on to actually become a pastor in a church. Now, if it hadn't have been sorted out then, what might have happened? And who knows what might happen now? I mean, who knows where that young man is? But you need to be able to do that. Now, I tell you these things as to let you know, God's still at work today. These gifts are still in operation. Don't let anybody talk you out of thinking that God is retired. He has not retired. He's still working. And when it comes to the word of knowledge, which I've just, and one of the things I say, these gifts often work in and through each other. They do. And that's why it's so difficult to be able to be so specific about them. You can't kind of say that's this and this is other. It's so difficult because they often flow each other, and you need one to operate alongside the other for it to actually work. And in the word of knowledge, the definition is the revelation of facts, past, present, or future, which were not learned through the efforts of the natural mind, Maybe that's why God kind of uses me, because my natural mind's not much use. Do you know? And it kind of, you know, there's an awful lot of space up here for him to be able to use. That's kind of how I think about it, you know, because it's the way I am. It's just who I am. But it's about God-given disclosures. That's what the word of knowledge is. I had another situation on my travels. For those that you don't know me, I went to Brazil and ministered there for quite a number of years, back and forward. I think about 12 years. I haven't been for the last two. I think God says I'm retired. I'm not sure. Anyway, I was in a meeting in a church in São Paulo. One of the wonderful things about not knowing the language, you haven't a clue what's going on most of the time. So you've got to totally depend on what God's telling you. Otherwise, you know, you crash and burn. And sometimes you say and do things that you have absolutely no idea the consequences long term. And there was a young woman in the meeting, and I still can't remember. I can remember the outcome now, but I can't remember the incident, if you like. But God gave me something to say to the young woman, and which we did. And 6 years later, when I was back in Brazil, I got invited to speak in a drug rehabilitation center in a favela, which is one of the shanty towns. And I thought, how on earth am I going there? Why should I be going there? I'm not very keen on going there, to be honest. But, you know, it turned out that it was the deputy mayor of the... They also have mayors in shanty towns in Brazil. They're that big and well organized. He invited me. And when I went to his house prior to the meeting, I discovered that this young woman that I had ministered to 6 years before and through a word of knowledge, that God had answered her prayer the day after and totally changed the circumstances in her life. Now, I can say I had absolutely nothing to do with that. I had no idea what was going on because I don't speak the language. But God does. He speaks the language of the world. He can encounter with anybody. And in that encounter and what happened out of what God done through that word of knowledge meant that I was in a situation in a drug rehabilitation center where you could minister to guys that were really needing help from God. And you could then see how you never know when you throw the pebble in the pond where the ripples are going to end up. It's about actually having the courage just to step out. And you know, sometimes I find it harder at home than I do when I'm traveling in other churches and going to other churches. It's a strange kind of thing, but it's a way that happens. And of course, from Scripture, you've got Jesus who, you know, tells Peter where to go and find the money for the taxes in the fish's mouth. That's a word of knowledge that he had. How on earth did he know that coin was in a fish's mouth? Come on. I mean, you know, how did he know that? Because he operated in the gifts. Jesus operated in the gifts. The word of knowledge came to him. How about when, I think it was Mark was talking about it several weeks ago, about the conversion of Saul to Paul, and how Ananias was involved in that conversion, and how Ananias knew to go to the street called Straight to minister to this man called Saul, who was persecuting the church. It was a word of knowledge. How would you have felt if you got that kind of word? Go and see this guy that might actually put you in jail. But Ananias went because God revealed it to him. There's all sorts of examples within Scripture of what happens with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we could mention, but we just don't have the time. And again, I'm going to give you another list. The purpose of the word of knowledge: to bring supernatural encouragement, to give confirmation to what God has already been saying or doing, to give insight and understanding to what is ahead and the purposes of God, to help in counseling, evangelistic situations. We're going off into our mission week. What if in that mission week we encounter someone that we can say through a gift of the Holy Spirit that's going to change their direction in their lives, that's going to help them in the situation that they find themselves in because God has revealed it to them? Because one of the things in Colin Dye's book is so strong, the fact, you know, we want to be evangelizing in church, and I think Mark was talking about, you know, evangelism last week. We're not Yeah, we can do it. Listen, you know, I've done so many things in my own strength. I mean, you know, in days gone by when I was a young Christian and so full of zeal, you know, I've told people before, stand still long enough, I'd have beaten you up with the Bible. I'd have knocked you out with the Bible. You know, I was so zealous. But you know what? I ran out of steam. I ran out of steam. You know, I charged on for as long as I possibly could. It lasted years. But then I ran out of steam. No longer could I feel I could go and knock on doors and streets. No longer could I feel I could do those things. And I needed to have an encounter with another person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that gave me the energy and the power to go on. When he grabbed hold of my life, which I gave him permission to do, it turned my world right side up. It wasn't that I wasn't in love with Jesus. It wasn't that I didn't want to serve the Father, but I just ran out of energy. And I needed to have that miraculous encounter, that divine human involvement. So to be able to do these things, to unlock hindrances and answer prayers so often. Why didn't I get an answer to that? Well, maybe God, through a word of knowledge, would help. Give strategies for spiritual warfare. Are we in a battle? You bet. You bet we're in a battle. To reveal where sin is being covered up. To open up a meeting or a situation for God to move. Seen that happen so often. Seen that happen so often. You just need to let go yourself and embrace what God wants. I'm telling you, God's full of surprises. It's brilliant. It's just being able to say, I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you. There's never any time that God is ever going to bring you into a place where you not sense his presence of being able to move in these things. I mean, it's like saying to a gardener, would you go and dig my garden for me? And he stands there waiting. And you say, what are you waiting on? Well, I need a spade. I need a fork. I need a hoe. And in a way, why would God ask you to go and do something without giving you the spade and the fork and the hoe? Why would he ask you to do these things? Why would he ask us? Why would Jesus say to us, go ye into all the world? Why would he ask us to do that without saying, here's your spade, your fork, and your hoe? Why would he do that? I just can't understand why he would do that. I don't think he does. I think he gives us everything we need. And here comes this one. Now, maybe you're not with me with the words of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I'm not sure how you're going to feel about this one, the discerning of spirits, because again, it takes us into a realm that sometimes some of us are not comfortable with. Some of us don't necessarily understand. It means about discerning through judging a situation, distinguishing, discerning clearly, discriminating about a situation. For example, I can give you when I was employed and in a work situation, and I had gone in new situation, didn't know anybody, and you've probably maybe felt this yourself when you go in and you get introduced to someone and there's just something not right. There's just something about, and it's not about body language, it's not about, you know, how the person looks, it's none of that kind of thing. It's just something. And I could tell just by the way the person looked at my eyes as I looked at their eyes that there was something of a blackness there. And it wasn't till later that I discovered that this person was into the old teacup reading and all that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, now I know why. I didn't really fully understand, because it wasn't about personality. She was a very pleasant person. I got on quite well with her. It wasn't any of those things. Mark and I went to a house a few years ago. Matt Nicholas, our minister, I'm talking about. And we were invited into the house because this young girl was having all sorts of manifestations and problems. Did we go in gladly? No, we didn't. We went in and with a certain anxiety, but yet trusting that the Lord would deal with the situation. But through that, going in there, it was about God revealing through a word of knowledge. It wasn't the daughter that had the problem. It was the mother that had the problem. But all the things were pointing to the daughter. And through that word of knowledge, there was wisdom came to actually know, well, no, we're not going to pray for the daughter, we're going to pray for you. Is that all right? So that God actually helped us discern, use the word of knowledge, and use wisdom of how to apply that. That's how these gifts operate for us, that help us and enable us to be able to do those things that God asked. Remember, Paul, when he's walking along the streets and there's a young girl coming up behind him in Acts chapter 16, calling out all sorts of things. Paul had to discern what was going on there and deal with it. There's all sorts of things in the Bible that can tell you it. How Jesus himself dealt with discerning of spirits and how he ministered. And when we come to a situation, you know, sometimes we do need to be able to have that wisdom in counseling, but also discern the genuine from the dishonest, the truth from the lies of how it is. We also need to be able to discern in church meetings that the guy that's actually up at the front is actually telling you the truth and not just a pack of lies. You've got to discern that. How do you know what I'm telling you? I hope you believe me, but do you know, what if you've got questions? You need to discern and you need to seek out yourself that what is truth. All of those things are. And it's also about, you know, when we think of it, we always kind of think about discerning a spirit as something about it's on the dark side. But no, it also helps us on the inside when we meet someone with a sweet spirit. You know, someone with a gentle spirit and a ministering spirit, they would recognize that as well. They would recognize the good side as well as the dark side of these things. We could see in Jesus' ministry when Peter says, oh, no, Jesus, you know, everything's going to be fine. But Jesus says, get ye behind me, Satan. It wasn't about Peter. It was about the spirit that was there that was using the human vehicle. So there's these things that we've got to learn. And you know, one of the things is, unless you actually are willing to jump in, you never will learn. You never will engage. And that's part of this series that we're looking at. And all this stuff, and I know there's a lot being thrown at you over these last few weeks about the Holy Spirit and what his ministry is. But, you know, we need to be able to be in a place where we can embrace what it tells us in verse 7 about being given these gifts, to be able to understand in verse 11, it's as he wills. And it, you know, and to step in to what God's got for you, what he's calling you to do. I never ever want to be the kind of Christian, and I'm sure you don't either, that's satisfied with where I am. I was speaking in another church last Sunday. It was a real challenge for me. But you know what? By accepting it, I was so energized by that challenge. I was so energized by what God was doing through that challenge. It actually done me so much good. Now, the people might, you know, have enjoyed as well. I trust they were and were blessed in it. But it wasn't just about that. It's about us being able to move into situations that we might not necessarily be comfortable with. And that's a challenge for us. No matter how long we've been Christians, how young or how old we are, even whether we're old physically or not as well. Because I believe, I'm a Caleb, I'm looking for the giants on the mountains the older I get. He's my hero from the Old Testament. And we need to come to that place where we're living channels of diffusion. And I'm going to finish with this verse of scripture. I'm going to read it because it's from the Message. But I like what it says. James says in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, the gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Now let me read it again. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Can you just picture that? Can you just picture the Father? I know you can just picture the river that flows from heaven. If you can imagine yourself this river of light that comes, if you could imagine for yourself that this river goes over the waterfall, it cascades down. If you could imagine that you're standing under that waterfall and being immersed and infused by the Spirit of God as He pours out His life and His gifts into you, because that's what James is saying. And we just need to see that we can come into that place. I was thinking of all sorts of illustrations to use to think of being infused by the Holy Spirit. And I come up with this one, and it's not unique by any means. I'm sure a million preachers have used this. But if you imagine yourself as a tea bag, and you imagine yourself as a tea bag being dropped in the cup, and imagine yourself with that water pouring into the cup, and the water goes through the tea bag, it infuses the tea. And the longer the tea bag's in the water, the stronger it becomes. So the longer we immerse ourselves in the Spirit of God, the stronger we become. The more we embrace His ministry, the stronger we become. There is times where we just like to soak enough in the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we would feel that strength, understand His gifting. So when you go home today, you make yourself a cup of tea and put the tea bag in, it's going to come back to you, that illustration. It's going to stick with you for the rest of the week, if not longer, every time you use a tea bag. Think of you being infused by the Spirit of God. Think of yourself standing under that waterfall and receiving from the Father, who sends forth His Spirit, because Jesus asked them, into our lives.